Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Doug Bilby, also known as Bullet Maker on the Bigfoot forums. I belong to the MABRC. If you have never been to that site, it's a wonderful site, and I have a lot of my stories on there in the forum called Bullet Maker's Den. Let me start out by saying that I moved out here in 1986. In Rogers County, most of the area is large cattle ranches. There are smaller ranches around the countryside, but most of them is for the ranchers' own needs. They do sell some of the cattle, lots of hay meadows, lots of strip pits, large areas of trees, red oak, white oak, walnut, pecan. Very rough and yet beautiful country. The neighbors out here, they're far and few in between. Some are miles apart, depending on where you're at, and some are a quarter mile down the road. When I moved out here, we had no water. I should say, I had no water. I was divorced at the time. The roads were simply dirt gravel roads, and you could expect to get a flat about once a month. The strange incidents at the time out here was there was a person, whether it was a werewolf, a Bigfoot, or a wild man, no one really knows, and to this day they wondered what it was. But the way the story went when I moved out here is on only full moon nights, during the phases of the full moon, this creature or person would run around the countryside naked and rip mailboxes off the post, which took a lot of strength. I don't know why he persisted in only mailboxes, but the witnesses claim that they would be woken up at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning to look out the window, only to see a large, muscular, hairy-looking man howling at the moon and ripping mailboxes off. Now, he didn't seem to bother anybody at the time, although at some points he did start peeking in windows at people and scared the tar out of them, which then caused them to call the Rogers County Sheriffs. Many times on my way to work at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would see the Rogers County Sheriff's patrol cars sitting on these lonely country roads at night trying to apprehend this person because he was committing a federal offense by destroying mailboxes. He never was apprehended. At one point, he was seen running across an open hay field at night. They never caught him, and it's been quite a while. It's been years now since anything was heard or seen of this wild man. But that was the first of many unusual stories that I encountered since I've been out here. Now, back in the 70s, there was a creature running around up in a little community called Noxie, Oklahoma, which is about 30 miles north of me. The creature was first seen by a farmer named Ken Kosh and said that the monster was 7 feet tall, hairy, foul-smelling, and with eyes that glowed like a cat. It has the sheriff worried because the people were going to take the matters in their own hand and arm themselves, and the sheriff was afraid people were going to start shooting innocent people coming into town. For instance, the hippies in that era had long hair, and they were smelly. So the locals may, on a full moon night, see these hippies hitchhiking through and shoot them. I was within 10 feet of it before I saw him, said Tosh, the farmer. He growled and ran one way. I screamed and ran the other. Tosh is one of several residents of this tiny community to report sightings that had been dubbed the Noxie Monster. The Nowata County Sheriff, Bob Arnold, was the one that investigated this report. He was pretty tight-lipped about it. Nothing has become of that report. No one was found. No Bigfoots were found, etc. Now, an interesting side note to that story is one of my deer leasers by the name of Terry told me an interesting incident that happened after that. And Terry knew this doctor from Tulsa that had bought some property up there in Noxie that the other people had vacated. I suspect the people that vacated that property were the same people this article was about. Anyhow, Terry and his buddy was given permission to go up there and quail hunt, not knowing that this was probably the same property that was in the paper. After a full day of quail hunting and harvesting many quail, they stopped at the farmer's house, which he was in Tulsa working, and the doctor's wife, whichever it was, the wife came to the door and told him to come in to visit, being that they didn't want to seem like they were trying to avoid her. They figured she was probably lonely because of living way out there in the middle of nowhere now. After having spent so many years in Tulsa, she probably was getting a little lonely. So they went inside and offered her some of the quail. She declined and gave him some iced tea. She sat rigidly on the edge of the couch and asked them, did they see or hear anything unusual? Terry said, "Why, no, we had a wonderful time. We heard a couple of coyotes. We saw lots of quail, saw a bobcat, etc. But we didn't hear or see anything unusual. What is it we're supposed to hear?" Now, Terry had not known about this previous story of the people that lived there. So the lady told him that when they bought that property, that they had moved hurriedly for a weekend stay before they had got the rest of the furniture moved up there. They went up with just sacks of a few groceries to spend the weekend and have an exciting adventure on their new farm. I believe it consisted of 460 acres. On the first night that they arrived and got set up with their candles, their groceries, or their ice chest with food in it, a violent storm moved through the plains. Lots of lightning and thunder, and it got dark, and they had no electric and no phone service because nothing was changing to their name at the time. So they lit the candles and was enjoying the storms whenever, off in the distance, they kept hearing a loud roar. This kind of disturbed them a little bit, but they figured it was probably some local animal that they was for certain that was nothing dangerous. Well, this creature kept getting closer and closer and closer to the house, as they could determine by the ever-increasing loudness of the hollers. By this time, they're pretty frightened and they're huddled together in the kitchen. The husband had a carving knife in his hand for protection. The creature was walking up and down the porch of the old farmhouse, creaking the boards on the porch every time he took a step. And every time a bolt of lightning lit up the outside, the creature was seen silhouetted on the outsides of the shade on the windows. They were terrified for the rest of the night. The creature at one point had turned the doorknob to the house as if to know that's the way you open a door. Of course, they had the door locked and a chair propped under it. It finally left. The sun rose up in the morning, the storm was gone, and they were very relieved. They hurriedly gathered their stuff and left, terrified. They did go back, but this time the husband took all of his guns with him. To my knowledge, the creature never came back to that house, or so we don't know if he did. However, Terry sat there and listened to that woman's story, and she was absolutely terrified, reliving that account. Terry said that they would be back as often as they wished. They would quail hunt and keep an eye on the place. And that was the end of that story. They never did hear or see the creature there again, to my knowledge. However, there are incidences that happened around that area. For instance, up in Bartlesville, back in July the 30th of 2003, a woman called the sheriff, Russell Cotter, to report she saw a huge adult monkey along Highway 123. That highway runs between Barnesdall and Bartlesville, Oklahoma. The caller said she stopped on the side of the road. She was approaching a hill. She stopped on the side of the road because there was a huge monkey in the road picking up two smaller monkeys, and they ran to the west and to the woods. Now, this incident where this happened would have been about 30 miles due west of where the Noxie monster incident took place. That part of the state is very underdeveloped. Lots of huge ranch lands. That's what we call the Osage County. Lots of short grasses prairie up there. I called the sheriff and tried to find out the woman's name so I could interview her, but the sheriff wouldn't give me her name. Because the way she described it as one huge monkey picking up two smaller monkeys could have very well fit the description of a Bigfoot. And it almost certainly had to be, because there are no monkeys running free in Oklahoma. But unbeknownst to the scientists, there are Bigfoots, because we've seen them. And to add to this story, not but a few miles from this incident, on Highway 75, south of Bartlesville, which would have been in the same general area of where that lady saw the monkeys, a county crew was working alongside Highway 75, about 7 miles south of Bartlesville, and they observed a huge creature walking across Highway 75, going from east to west, 100 yards from them. They told the reporter they had never seen anything like that before, and they said it was a Bigfoot. They definitely said they saw it. The road crew had their foreman to back up their story and said they had no desire to get closer to the thing, for it was a huge beast and looked like it could get dangerous if it wanted to. However, all it was doing was simply walking upright on two legs like a man, crossed the road, stepped over a barbed wire fence, and continued on across the short grass prairie till it went out of sight. That was the end of that story. I, again, tried to contact those county crews, but didn't have any success in further up investigation on it. Now, back to my place out here. All of this area is very rugged and wild. And my neighbor back in 1996, his name is Chester Ball. And Chester has a rather large family. He is American-Mexican. And he called me one night, dark night, it was August the 15th, at 10 o'clock at night. And there was no stars out. There was no moon. It was just simply pitch black. It was hot and humid, because if I remember right, it was in August. He said to be on the lookout for a tall black man who had just stole some of his chickens. And he was headed in my direction. I told him that did this individual have a flashlight? He said no. And I commented to him that this property is very rough. There are these thorn trees that have thorns that are about 5 inches long, and they're sharp as a needle, that this individual took a great chance of getting his eye poked out. Now, what transpired was that Chester was in bed and he heard his chickens raising ruckus. He thought it might be a fox or a coyote getting in this hen house. He walked to the door half asleep and flipped on his little flashlight, and the hen house is about 30 yards from his trailer door, and he observed this tall black man dressed in shaggy, tattered, oily-looking clothes, according to Chester. The animal stepped over the fence, 4-foot barbed wire fence, and proceeded on to my property. I never told Chester what I figured he had seen, because I didn't want to have him upset, worried about his family at night while he was at work. This particular night was his night off when this incident happened. So I told him that I would drive around. He told me he would too. We'd both leave at the same time, and we would drive the mile section looking for any vehicles that could be sitting beside the road, which I knew there wouldn't be, but I did it just to appease him. Upon returning, we called each other, and we saw no vehicles, which I knew we wouldn't. And then we hung up. But I raised the question to myself that he considered it a large black man because Bigfoots are black. And the tattered clothing that he said the person was wearing was probably matted long hair of the Bigfoot. And I don't know of a man that can step across a 4-foot fence, period. The creature was, and I'll call him a creature, the creature was carrying 3 of his chickens. And he proceeded on across the fence. The chickens at this point were dead. They were not struggling or fighting. They were simply dead. So I assume the Bigfoot came up on them to the hills where I live and had a nice meal of raw chicken. I ran into Chester. To back up a little, he finally moved from that house down there. He had been there for approximately 10 or 11 years. He never told me if they had any other encounters, other than he would tell me occasionally that his dogs kept barking certain nights, but he would look and see nothing. At one point in the daytime, broad daylight, his two boys, which were 13 and 15 at the time, was playing outside by the trailer, and a huge mountain lion walked off my property right by the boys and took one of Chester's hogs, a 90-pound hog. Commenced instantly killed the animal, carried it within its jaws, and leaped over that 4-foot fence. The boys were basically in shock, and they ran to the house, and there for a long time, Chester wouldn't let the boys play outside without a guarded condition, one of them have a gun out there. So, it's pretty wild out here in this area. I ran into Chester several years later at a store in Claremore, and he was doing fine. He is a preacher now, still works for Douglas Airlines, but he is a preacher. And I told him then what I suspected the creature was the night he saw them take his chickens. And I told him about the Bigfoot sightings around the area, and that's probably what he witnessed. He just kind of looked at me like I was silly, and that's okay. But it's like I told him, it's kind of silly to suspect that an individual would be out there stealing chickens in the middle of the night, way out in the country, and walking around with no flashlight whatsoever to see where he's going, when he can just as easily apply for food stamps and go get commodities and get welfare. He didn't have anything to comment about that. But anyhow, he's a very nice gentleman, and it's too bad that a lot of people that actually see these creatures, these Bigfoots, cannot equate of what they're looking at. And I think basically it's because their mind's not programmed to see what they're actually seeing. Their mind is trying to compute it. Now, back in May the 23rd of 2004, out here, my daughter, at 8:30 in the morning, was coming over to my house to have breakfast with me. Okay, I'm sorry. Had to excuse me. I lost contacts there for a second. But to resume what I was saying, my daughter, which is 25 years old, she didn't believe in my Bigfoot stories. She took them with a grain of salt. She thought they were interesting and imaginative, but that I was seeing things. She thought I had a big imagination. After all, I was in Vietnam, and Vietnam vets are supposed to be strange, she thought. Well, her mind was changed quickly on the morning at 8:30, May the 23rd. She was driving over to my house to have breakfast with me. Upon arriving, I noticed that she was very nervous acting, excited, and breathless all at the same time. She got out of her car and ran up to the porch and said, "Dad, Dad, I saw Bigfoot. I just saw him. He's back over there about 3 miles over." And I said, "Well, Bridget, come in and tell me what happened." "Well, I was coming to your house." Now, remember, this is August, very hot part of the year. And I look over towards the strip pits, and I thought that was strange because there's a man bending over drinking water, and he's got a fur suit on. And I thought, well, now, that's strange. So she said, I kept watching him as I'm driving by very slowly, and the thing stood up and looked at me, and I knew right then it was a Bigfoot. I hit my brakes, and it turned and walked away. She said, I got so scared I trumped the gas pedal, and then I hit my brakes again and backed up because I wanted to see him again. And at this point, he stopped and turned around and looked at me, and she said, then I trumped the gas and I got out of there. She said, I thought maybe he might be able to run and get in the car. But she said it was about 50 yards from her, less than 50 yards. And it stood up and walked away towards the west, which is the beginning of the hill range that I live on. She said he could have been 6'4", 6'7", but he was very massive, very, very large. And there was no other Bigfoot that she saw, only him. And he had bent down, drinking in the strip pit, like bringing the water in the palm of his hands at one point. But then she said it looked like he bent all the way over to suck it, to suck the water with his lips. So she got a pretty good look at it, even though it scared her very badly. She tells everybody now that she believes her dad when he tells her he's seen something. She did not get a look at his face because she was so shook up. All she knows is that it was big and it was looked like the thing had on a fur bodysuit. Now, I'll add this story. The evening of February the 8th, in 2008, at 6:45 p.m., my wife was coming back from the town of Chelsea, the same drive that my daughter was on when she came over. Upon approaching a 90-degree curve in a road, she slowed down to observe an approximate six-foot Bigfoot, dark reddish hair, long arms, husky built, with a pot belly. Now, we don't know. I've seen a lot of these, some of these creatures with what appears to have a pot belly, and we theorize that they may, possibly could be, pregnant females. But there again, we don't know that for a fact because we can't see them that clear. But they look like they're well fed anyhow. Well, this creature crossed the street, was standing. Well, it was crossing the street, but it stood still as my wife made that curve, and it looked at my wife and shook its fist at her as if to say, "Don't you dare run over me." Now, this shook my wife up pretty bad, and she was going to put the car in reverse and turn around on that little two-lane blacktop, but she was afraid she might get stuck in a bar ditch. But the creature instantly started walking to the west, as the first creature did, towards the hill. She was relieved because she could now get by the creature, which she did. She tromped the gas and got by where the creature was standing. She watched it for a little ways till it went out of sight. So that's two incidences there that happened within months apart. In the same spot, the same area. A friend of mine, a driver-operator, which is a researcher on the MABRC, came out and he went over there and checked the fence line for hair. He did find some red strands of hair. However, the pasture does have horses in it, so we really think it's probably horse hair. We don't know. I've got the hair, but I can't afford to have the DNA. That's expensive. So, but I'm pretty sure it's horse hair that he found. Now, January 24th of 2005, I took my at the time I had an old VHS recorder. Of course, they're antiques now, and they've been outdated. I have upgraded, but that's the only thing I had at the time. So I took that old recorder with me and my trusty old 444 Marlin lever-action rifle and headed for my tower stand. Tower stand number 3, which I've had a lot of Bigfoot sightings from that stand. It's about 40 yards off the edge of a cliff. Lots of thick timber all around, and I've always caught them coming from the north, or I should say the south, going north. I have certain areas cut out through the timber so I can see deer, Bigfoots, predators, whatsoever coming by. I can see them. That cliff drops off 130 foot. I have a theory that they like to walk those cliffs, not unlike a mountain lion does also. And what they're looking for is game, wild game down the bottoms, possibly deer, turkey, etc. I got him a stand at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get pictures of wildlife. I usually take that recorder with me quite a bit of times. The day before that, January the 23rd, I was in stand and two pretty little does came by at 4:44 in the afternoon. They fed on the corn from my corn feeder. I didn't have my camera with me, and so I didn't get any pictures of them. So this time I thought, well, maybe I'll go set in that stand and take my recorder and get pictures of those deer. Now, I didn't have any Bigfoots in mind, however, I do see them out there occasionally. Well, nothing was moving around except for two pesky squirrels that were busily bearing acorns and playing around chasing each other. At one point, I had six little gray squirrels running around the tree, chattering and chasing and tumbling around like a bunch of six-year-old kids. They were having a blast. Anyhow, I decided I would leave. It was getting dark. I had a long cord rope to let down my bag that I had all my stuff in. I lowered it by the rope, and then I slung the rifle over my back, and I was climbing down the ladder. As soon as I got down to the bottom on the ground, I bent over to untie the rope from the bag, and instantly there was two long monkey grunts to my south. It startled me real bad, and I stood up real quick to see this black silhouette about 5'6" standing there 20 feet from me staring at me. I instantly brought the rifle up to my waist. I didn't point it at the creature, I just stared at him. There was a full moon, and he was reflecting the moonlight in one eye. He only had one eye. And it was an eerie looking sight, having this one eye that looks almost total white because he's reflecting that moon and standing there looking at me. I just started to say something to him, like, "What do you want?" whenever he turned and stepped over the fence and walked towards the west, that 100-foot drop-off. Well, I was kind of hypnotized, or I should say it was a surreal feeling that was happening, because here is a Bigfoot looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and these creatures are not supposed to exist. Being that it was dark, all I could see was a black outline, but at 20 feet, I could see that he had long hair. He looked at me momentarily. As he turned to walk, he took about, maybe 6 or 7 steps. As he was still walking, he turned his torso around to look back at me, and then turned back around and continued walking in the direction he was going. At some point, I think he stopped. I don't know that for a fact, but I no longer heard his footsteps in the dry leaves. He either stopped around the small post oak trees and was looking back at me, or he simply just went so far I no longer heard the footsteps, because at that point it's totally dark where he's at. I could see nothing. I did not have a powerful flashlight with me. I had just a small little light to just put out enough light to see where you're going. And I left and never saw him, didn't hear him anymore. But I thought it was interesting that we made communications, I guess, and that he grunted at me, and I looked at him, and we had eyeball-to-eyeball contact for about 6 seconds before he decided I wasn't a monkey. And I think that's exactly what he thought I was. I'm large like him. I have big arms and a big belly, and I'm 6 foot tall. I weigh 330 pounds. As I was bent over picking up that bag on the ground, I think he just came upon me at that point, saw me bend over, and thought I was one of them. Henceforth, the like, who are you? So when I stood up, he could see me better, and that was the end of that. But like I said, he only has one eye. And possibly with that one eye, he couldn't discern me as well. So when I was bent over, I looked like a Bigfoot that was on all fours. I feel good about the encounter. It scared me pretty bad, but also know without a doubt, they are here, and so am I. We see them just too many times. Now, I took a foot cast, which you'd have to go on the MABRC site, go to Bullet Makers 10 to see it. But this foot cast was taken down in the bottoms. And what happened was, a friend of mine was out for the weekend, Roy, and we were down in the very bottoms. He's one of my old deer leasers. And we were walking the creek. Roy didn't believe in Bigfoots, so I wasn't trying to prove anything to him. I just figured he'd see one before now. In fact, I know he's seen one because I was with him. But Roy has a real bad vision, and what happened was, him and I was filling a corn feeder during the 2006 rifle season, gun season. And as we're filling the feeder, two other guys I knew was down in Rattlesnake Canyon. Actually, this was 2004. They were down in Rattlesnake Canyon looking for Bigfoot hideouts. They were Bigfoot hunters, and I knew them. And what happened to them was that they had flushed a Bigfoot out. We're on top of the hill filling this corn feeder when I look over and see this huge gorilla-shaped animal skirting the canyon wall looking down at them. I instantly told Roy, "Roy, what is that over there?" And Roy looks, and he's got his adjusting his glasses, and he's squinting his eyes, and he said, "Well, I don't know, Doug. Is that a turkey?" And I said, "Yeah, Roy, that's a big 6 foot tall, 6 foot five turkey." And Roy laughed. He said, "Well, that's a big old gobbler." And that was it. That's what he saw. So this creature has very shiny black hair. Sort of like a turkey as far as coloration goes, maybe. When you're looking at a turkey in the sunlight and the sun's reflecting off the black feathers, causing that blue look to it. I call it raven black. But anyhow, this creature was so black, it had blue in it, and henceforth I had bought a car one time, a SUV, and the paint job on it was called Raven Black. It had a Eddie Bear package on it. It was a Ford four-wheel drive. And during certain times of the night, when you're going under those street lights, it gives off a blue tint to it. And that's exactly what these Bigfoot's coloration is like. Now, I know that some of them are reddish, black, and I'm the only ones I've ever seen. I saw one or two that had a reddish black to them, but most of them I've seen are solid raven black. And I was just amazed that Roy couldn't make out this thing. But there again, he had been with me for about 5 years, and there's really no telling how many times Roy had seen a Bigfoot, but not knowing what the heck he was looking at. But to continue with my story, him and I was walking down the creek, and he shot a grass carp, a huge grass carp that weighed about probably 8 or 10 pounds. Now, I chastised him because I don't like killing anything unless I eat it. And I told Roy he's going to have to eat that grass carp because he killed it. And he said, well, I'm not going to eat it. I just wanted to see if this gun would kill it. I said, well, yeah, the gun would kill it, but now that grass carp's going to go to waste. We got to use him for something. So I come upon the idea to use him as Bigfoot bait. So I got a bungee cord out of my Kawasaki mule, and a few people that are not familiar with bungee cords, they're a long elastic cord, black, hard rubber that stretches, and each end has S-curved hooks on them. Well, I took one end and stuck it through the grass carp's gill, and the other end of the bungee cord, I hung it high up, as high as I could reach, on this big oak tree that had a small branch that was rotted. I hung that as close as the tree as I could so that it would support the weight of the carp. All total, the tail of that carp was probably 5'8", 6 feet off the ground. Now, my theory was, if something grabbed that fish, it would have to tear that rotted limb off to pull on that cord, because that branch was about the diameter of a number two pencil. So it was very small, very weak. Well, we left, and the next day I got to thinking about that poor grass carp. So I went down there to check on it, and lo and behold, the grass carp is gone. The bungee cord is still hanging from that tree limb. The grass carp is gone, and how do I know a Bigfoot took it? Because in the Sand Creek bed was the track, 16-inch track with 5 toes. I cast that track. I cast it, and I have it here at the house now, and I put it on the MABRC site for everybody to see. The name of the heading to it is Bigfoot Track Cast, and it's on one of my stories there in Bullet Maker's Den. This is a thick, thick track, heavy, and was a fairly large creature. As I'm sitting there casting the material, I've got to wait 30 minutes for it to dry. So I walk on down the creek following its track. It left a lot of tracks. It was walking to the west, and it was leaving tracks every step. And it took 2 of my steps to equal 1 of his steps. However, what surprised me was about 25 yards, he went down on knuckles. He went all 4. And then he went maybe 10 yards like that, and then he was back up on his hind feet again. Well, I followed him for approximately 70 yards, maybe a little farther, and I was coming to a bend in the creek, and all of a sudden I hear rock clanging. On the other side of that bank, that bend, was a sound of clack, 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 clack. And I knew that that was 2 rocks being smacked together, and I knew that was him. So instead of edging on around that bend and seeing him, I backed out. Number reason for it was I didn't know how many there was, and I didn't want to disturb him. I didn't want to force him into a charge where I would have had to shoot him. So I went back to the original foot cast, got my Kawasaki mule because that wasn't dry yet, and I continued on over to the pond to do a little fishing. So I'd been fishing for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and this creature started in that rock clacking again. And from the sound of the clacking, he was coming from the same general direction that I had heard him at earlier, which from at this point where I'm at now was about 200 yards. I instantly put my fishing rod up and picked up a dead stick and started beating on the side of a persimmon tree to imitate his sound. We did the same sounds together for about 3 or 4 sessions, and then he stopped, and he wouldn't make any more sounds to me. I continued, and he refused to answer me. So I just sat there in silence for what seemed like forever. And all of a sudden, 20 feet from me, some thick bushes come up out of a ravine from the creek, comes this horrific holler. Ah! Just real loud. Just, you can hear the chest heaving. It was huge. I dropped the stick, grabbed my rifle, and brought it up to my shoulder. He didn't charge, but it seemed like he would, and it seemed like eternity. It was a good 8 minutes, 10 minutes that I held that rifle up to the side of my face, peeking through the sights, waiting for the charge. He never did. The rifle got awfully heavy. I put it in the mule and got out of there. I came back on around, dug up my track, and went home. Now, I theorized an event from that, an experience. That is, these creatures are very dexterous, and they're intelligent. He knew how to unhook that fish from that bungee cord. He left the bungee cord in the tree, which meant he had to unhook it from that S-curve hook. So he had enough dexterity in his hands to do that. And he had the intelligence to figure out how to do it. He didn't just grab the fish and rip it off that dead branch, which would pull the branch down too, because that branch was very, very rotted, very, very weak, and very small. But he probably gently unhooked the fish and walked on. Pattern that he did, knocking or clanging with the rocks. I don't know what that was about. Unless he was had found some clams in the creek and he was beating the clams open. However, I doubt that because of the rhythm and the cadence of the rock clanging. It wasn't like you were trying to bust open some walnuts with a rock. There was definitely two rocks being clanged together as a signal or warning or something. But these creatures are very, very mysterious, very unique, and they're here. I don't know if this creature would have done me any harm. I didn't give him the opportunity. I basically stayed back in the shadows and let him do all of the action. All I did was react with him from a 200-yard distance. But he did come up to me. So there in itself is another fact. These creatures will come to you if you imitate their calling. Or maybe if he didn't do anything and I just started beating on a tree, he might have come up there to see who I was. But the creature did come up there to me. So we found out from that little experience that they do leave foot tracks. They do like fish because he took that fish. And they do have some sort of code with rocks and sticks. They will growl, and they're not scared of you. So I learned a lot from that one episode. You can read the full stories on MABRC. You can also, by getting on MABRC, you can buy these volumes. This is Volume 2. Volume 1's already published and out for sale. There'll be more to come. What I'm doing is recording all of my stories that I've had, and I'm putting them on file for people to read. These stories are true, I've been out here 25 years. I've got lots of stories. Not all of these stories are first person. Some of them are secondhand reports, but they're secondhand from people that I know that are people that are not Bigfoot hunters. They're not looking to be noticed. In fact, when I do tell their stories, they request that I not use their full name. But all of my stories are correct, and all the ones that I have encountered are correct. And I know that a lot of people will say, well, gee, you've got so many stories, how can this happen? Well, it's 25 years of stories. It's not 2 years, it's not 1 year, but a full 25 years. And the stories are still continuing. I'm certain that this deer season, that there will be more stories to be applied against these. And hopefully one day we'll find a dead Bigfoot and we can solve the mystery. Anyhow, I'm going to end this recording. I don't have much time left on the tape. I thank you for listening, and stay tuned for Volume 3. Thank you, and good night.